إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you, and we will continue insha'Allah ta'ala reading from the book Makarim al-Akhlaq, Upright Moral Character, by our noble Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is a part 3. We're not going to be able, if I keep doing it the way I'm doing it, we may not be able to finish the book. And so therefore I'm going to skip reading the Arabic text, and we're just going to read the English translation insha'Allah ta'ala. So the last point we mentioned in part 2 is yesterday is that the Shaykh, he mentioned that a person should have good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As certain people may think that when good manners are mentioned, certain people's minds may go only to be nice and kind to the people and to the creation. And that's where the kuffar, they would go wrong. You find them, they nice to dogs, cats, which is a good thing. Gotta be nice to the creation. And they said you gotta have some good manners with the creation. What about good manners with Allah, the Creator? And we mentioned that having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of three things. Believing what Allah says when it reaches you. Number two, implementing and putting His rulings into practice. Number three, facing His decree with patience and acceptance. If a person does this, he has good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing what Allah says when it reaches you. Now the Shaykh is going to give details. Qala Shaykh, accepting Allah's reports and believing them means that one does not doubt them or waver in his affirmation of what Allah, the glorified and exalted, says. And this is because what Allah, the exalted, says only comes from knowledge, while He is the most truthful in speech. Allah is the most truthful in speech. That's why we should believe in it without doubt whatsoever. You may doubt somebody else, somebody telling you something, and you may doubt it, because he's a human like you. But when things reach you from Allah, should be no room for doubts whatsoever. And this is a good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And who is more truthful in speech than Allah? There's no one. No one is. That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, and the most truthful of all speeches is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sermons. Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala continue by saying, to truly believe in what Allah says. Now if somebody truly believes in what Allah says, necessitates that one put his trust in His reports. He trusts what Allah says. Defend them likewise. Because there are people who they talk, they're like, come on man, that makes no sense. You bring him an ayah, certain people, ayah is brought to that person, and ayah is from Allah, and he's going to tell you, come on man, we live in America, come on. So that's come on, akhi. Just come on. And you tell him what Allah says. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And he tell you it doesn't make sense. Because he doesn't make sense to his wicked understanding, because that person doesn't have good manners with Allah. He doesn't even know what it is. Those who have good manners with Allah, they never reject nor doubt anything that Allah says. Why? Because it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah says comes from knowledge. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful in speech. So not only that you believe these reports, you defend them, trust them, defend them, and struggles by way of them. And a person does not allow the entrance of any doubt or confusion, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, or confusion over what Allah, the glorified and exalted, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have reported. That's a believer. Person who have good manners with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accept their reports. That being truthful, no doubt whatsoever comes to him or to her as related to the reports of Allah. They defend them, they trust in them, they struggle, they apply them in their lives. When someone takes on this kind of character, it enables him or her to repel the doubts cast by those who speak with ulterior motives about the reports of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether they be, meaning those motives and those statements and those doubts, whether they be from the Muslims who have introduced new affairs into the religion, or from the non-Muslims who try to cast doubts into the hearts of the Muslims. If a person applies this good manner, which believing in truth what Allah says, then this person will stand firm against the wicked statements. They are Muslim. There are people here Muslims, man. They say La ilaha illallah, they pray, but then they bring some doubts to cast it in the minds of the Muslims. Wal-iyadu billah. But somebody who knows this and apply these good manners, he says, who says this? Allah. Alright, that's it. It's happening. Doesn't matter, but wait a minute. Yeah, it's an ayah. We're not talking about the ayah, but come on. That's a long time ago. This is America now. Come on, man. How are we going to apply this in, we're in here? A'udhu billah. Because they use their intellect. But someone who has good manners, they don't get them. They have no impact on that person. The Shaykh says, let's give an example. So these are an example that make this clear. You find some Muslims who don't understand the religion, and they cast doubts, or non-Muslims themselves cast doubts in the Muslims' minds. The Shaykh said, let us look at an example, the hadith of the fly. The hadith of the fly, Dubaba. It is authentically recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Hadith number 3320 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu died in the year 58 of the Hijrah. After joining the ranks of the Muslims in the 7th year of the Hijrah. After the Hijrah, in 7th year. Abu Huraira ad-Dawsi fought in the Battle of Khaybar that year and then stayed extremely close to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going with him wherever he went except in the house. That's why he didn't narrate a lot of things that happened in the bedroom and this and that, and at night time he couldn't go there. Anything else you find Abu Huraira narrating, subhanAllah, because he went with the Prophet whenever he went, learning and memorizing from him. He memorized more narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other companion, despite his short companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of less than 4 years. Al-Bukhari mentioned that more than 800 people narrated from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So in this hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا وَقَعَ الذُّبَابُ فِي شَرَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْمِسْهُ ثُمَّ لِيَنْزِعْهُ فَإِنَّ فِي إِحْدَى جَنَاحَيْهِ دَاءً وَالْأَخْرَى شِفَاءً. The Prophet ﷺ says, if a fly, if a fly, and we know flies. Flies get around us. They live around people. If a fly lands in your drink, now you're drinking some milk, for example, if a fly lands in your drink, what you should do now? What people usually do? Throw it out, right? They dump the milk. Alright? Some people do that. Other people do what? Take the fly out and what? And drink the milk. Some they do that. Here is what the Prophet ﷺ says. If a fly lands in your drink, submerge the fly. Drown it. Push it down into that drink. And then remove it. Remove what? The fly. Because one, on one wing is a disease and on the other is a cure. And then you say Bismillah and drink. Alright? This is a report that has come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he never spoke on his own behalf in affairs of the ghaib, the unseen. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a doctor. You know? He never speaks. He don't know the affairs of the unseen. The disease on one wing, the cure on the other. But he says what Allah tells him to say, what He reveals to him. He would only speak with what Allah, the Exalted, revealed to him. Since he was a human being, and human beings do not know the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُحَى إِلَيْهِ. Surah Al-An'am, verse number 50. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not claim to possess the treasures of Allah, nor do I know the unseen, nor do I say to you, I am an angel. I only follow what has been revealed to me. I only follow what has been revealed to me. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, this report is something that we must confront with good manners. This hadith. Some people, this hadith come to them and say, come on man, a fly, that dirty fly, and he's still going to drink it? Ah, oh, man. See? Akhi, please, don't hurt yourself. Hadith. Akhi, hadith in the masjid. We're in a coffee, man. Some people, they think they can apply the hadith only in the masjid. No. Hadith is applied whenever you're in a masjid, in your house, in a coffee shop. You know? So the Shaykh says, this report is something that we must confront with good manners. Because good manners will help. Good character with regards to this report, what is good character? Is to accept it. That's good manners with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. To accept it and believe in its meaning. And believe in its meaning. The Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, we declare with certainty that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in this narration is the truth. No matter who has a problem with it, Allahu Akbar. Some people, they may have a problem. They're like, wait a minute, that time there's no microscopes, there's no labs. How did he, could he see the wing? Ah, oh, do we let people using their intellect? I know.
There is one hadith that Rasul
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
went to the with Khalid ibn Walid, was eating a meat of what? So he invites Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I'm not eating this. Khalid ate the
meat.
And in this case, the food is halal. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't like it.
But he didn't say nothing bad about it.
like this in God about it.
Yeah.
But now, when the flies comes to my drink, and I put it inside, and take it out and throw, but I don't feel happy to drink that milk or anything that I drink. I believe that it has not any harm.
I understand your question. No.
How if I don't want to drink that thing? I'm not following the...
If a person followed the narration, he should have no problem. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when you give that example of the meat, the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't eat it because he says the reason why he didn't eat it, he said, this is not the food of my people. He's not used to it. It's like you bring somebody from Pakistan, you know? And in his entire life, he was eating only Pakistani food, like a wheel, no McDonald's, no nothing. So you're gonna bring him some fried chicken, or some burger on the grill, he's not going to eat it. He's going to say, what is this? He's going to say, what is this? Oh, this, no, I don't eat it. Because it's not the food of his people. Now the hadith is different. Now this is the person, he likes milk. Right or wrong? That's why he has that milk, he want to drink it, then the fly comes in, now he changed his mind. Because of the fly, not because he don't want the milk. That's two different things. So that person himself, if he thinks that, come on man, the fly comes in, I'm not going to drink it, that's the problem. But he should drink it. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, if that person wants to apply the hadith, he drink the milk. But now he don't want to drink it because the fly came in it, now that person, he has to have a correct understanding of the hadith. It's different if somebody, they tell him, Akhi, you want some milk? Oh no, I don't drink milk. I don't drink milk, me personally. You give me some problems, I'm lactose free. But something I like for example, I like juice. And I said, yeah, give me a cup of juice. And I'm drinking, I drink half of it, and then a fly came in, and then I know the hadith, and I put it in and take it out, I'm like, oh, I don't want to drink it now. Now I have a problem. Okay, but we still, inshallah, gonna ask a question from the ulama, okay? I was just saying this so they can understand what you're trying to tell me, right? Yeah. So that's exactly. Yeah. We ask a question, inshallah. Here is the question. Me and you, we agree on a question. Here is a person, alhamdulillah, he believes in the hadith. MashaAllah, he's not rejecting the hadith. Since this hadith is sahih, MashaAllah, he believes in the hadith. But however, this person, he did. Mashallah, fly came in his milk, he put it down, take it out, but when he wants to drink, something in him told him, don't drink. Is that person now sinful or not, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good question. And deserve a good answer. From a good person. That's the ulama. Alhamdulillah. I'm gonna try my best to get an answer, inshallah. Tayyib. The Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah says, we know with certainty. Now he said, we declare with certainty that whatever the Prophet ﷺ has said in this narration is the truth. No matter who has a problem with it. We know with certainty that whatever opposes what has been authentically established from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is indeed falsehood. Because Allah says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَأَنَّ تُصْرَفُونَ. And what is after the truth except misguidance? So how have you been turned away? So we go back to the question of our elder brother, Hafidhullah. What the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen just said here, those who oppose it, those who say, come on man, are you telling me this? Who accept this? A fly? Come in your milk, put it, and come on. These are the people that they are opposing. But in our brother question, he's not saying that. Alhamdulillah, a person affirm this hadith, no problem. This hadith is the truth. The Prophet ﷺ speak the truth. Now, whatever the Prophet said in this hadith is true. However, the person, because we human beings, now that person, at that moment he feels some type of way, he don't want to drink the milk anymore. And keep in mind that sometimes a person asks a question so that other people can benefit. Okay? Not whenever somebody asks a person, we got to look at him, why you ask this question. Well, people, they ask questions, and there is benefits, inshallah ta'ala. Another example. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he brings another example. Of this would be the reports about the Day of Judgments. Because what happened and what will happen in the Day of Judgment, this is from the unseen. Allah tells us about things that's going to happen, and the Prophet ﷺ tells us about things that's going to happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. None of us been there yet. So how certain people accept? Because some deviant groups, they even deny a lot of things. They deny things in the grave, they deny things on Yawm al-Qiyamah, wal-iyadu billah. Another example here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us in this narration when he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna ash-shamsa tadnu min al-khala'iq yawm al-qiyamati biqadri min." Verily the sun will come close to the people on the Day of Judgment within 1 mile, within 1 mil. Okay, mil. Which is, in English, they pronounce that as a mile. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and this hadith, by the way, is in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 1405, and in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 62. Also is in Jami' al-Tirmidhi and Muslim Imam Ahmed, and others with slight difference in their wordings. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, whether this meal that the Prophet ﷺ says is the length of a stick that is used for kuhl. You know kuhl, right? The kuhl is a powder from this specific rock. It's a black powder from this rock. In the Prophet's medicine book, they says that is called antimony. Antimony, A-N-T-I-M-O-N-Y. Antimony, a rock that they grind to get kuhl powder. The kuhl powder is like this way, they call it mascara. A plier. You know the mascara that the ladies use? For their eyelashes? In the kuhl, which is tradition, that they have this powder and they put it in little bottle or jar, little one, usually made out of wood. And then they have this stick, like the Chinese they used to eat. It's like wooden, but it's like a very fine in the end. So they stick it over there, and then they go like this. Kuhl. Alright? And it's good. The kuhl has a lot of good benefits. Not just for beautification, but has good things. Even some men, they do the kuhl. For their eyes. Okay? So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says a meal, this meal, like which, this mile, like a mile, it could be that. The length. And it's only this big. Could be maybe like 8 inches. This is like 8 inches in here? Hassan? Less? 5-6 inches? Yeah, like 5-6 inches. Just enough to get into that little jar, pick up some powder, the kuhl. You know the kuhl, right?
Yeah.
In English they call it what? Kuhl. Kuhl. But it's kuhl with the kaf, ha, and lam. You know the kuhl, Shaykh, right? In a lot of countries they have kuhl. Most Muslim countries have kuhl. They know it. And they use it as a cure, actually, as a medicine. As a medicine for the eye. But if you don't know how to do it, don't do it. Because that stick is very pointy, you know. Like, you make a bad move, You hurt yourself. That's why they have people that have, they know how to do it, they do it to others. Inshallah ta'ala. He said, that's what could mean. Or an actual mile. The distance between the sun and the heads of the people will be very short. That's what he means. Sajid, how far is the sun, they say. Allah knows best, but due to the science and the people and the technology, they say how far the sun is from the earth? 20 or 30,000 miles? Man, we be burned. Right wrong. What is it they say? 200 million?
No. 93 million
lunar year. Yeah. SubhanAllah. What is that lunar year? Maybe a lot of years, huh?
No, not light.
It's a lot. It's a lot. The sun is far, far, far away from us. But still, sometimes, man, you get 93 degrees and we run. Can't be standing out there. Well, now in this narration, that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet said that the sun will get closer 1 mile from the heads of the people. Even with this closeness, the people will not be burned up by its heat. In this life, the Shaykh al-Taymin says, in this life of ours, if the sun were to come slightly closer to the earth will burn up. Slightly, not just 1 mile. If the sun will just move from its orbit a little bit closer to the earth, this earth will burn up. May Allah protect us. Ameen. Then the Shaykh said, someone may ask, how could the sun come this close to the people on the Day of Judgment and they could continue existing, even for 1 second, without being burned up? So the Shaykh says, remember, what does it mean to have good manners in how you deal with this hadith? That's all it comes to, good manners with Allah and with His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having good manners with what Allah says and what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. That's what makes a difference, not the intellect and how smart you are. No. Where do you stand? What is your manners with Allah? And with what Allah says, and the manners, having good manners with what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, having good character with regards to this authentic narration means that we accept it and believe in it. That's good manners. We don't reject it because of our intellect. No. We accept it and believe in it while having no problem whatsoever. While having no problem, distress, or wavering in our chests. It's not just accepting it, but then inside of one's chest is like, oh yeah, hell no, man, that's, how could it be possible? Yeah. No, that a person should have no doubt whatsoever. That's good manners with the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh, he says, we know that everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about is the truth. Is the truth. No analogies can be drawn between the affairs of the hereafter. No analogy can be drawn between the affairs of the hereafter and the affairs of this life because of the huge difference between the two. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala went and gave another example. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, for example, we know that the people will be made to stand for 50,000 years on the Day of Judgment. If we apply this based on what we know about this worldly life, is it possible for someone to stand up for 50,000 years? If somebody tell you, oh, I know certain people in here, in China for example, or in Africa, they were standing for 50,000 years. Would you believe that? Why not? Because in human nature here, subhanAllah, they were standing, come on, they didn't go to sleep, they get tired. Somebody standing for 50,000 years, not getting tired, and they still standing. That's what the Sheikh says. If we apply this based on what we know about this worldly life, is it possible for someone to stand up for 50,000 years? The answer, it is not possible, Sheikh said. It is not possible. As the difference between the two is a huge one. So there is a difference between this life and the next one. They're not the same. They're not the same lives. The milk in this life is not like the milk of the Jannah. The wine in this life is not like the wine in the Jannah. There is no comparison whatsoever. The believer must accept the likes of these reports and narrations with ease and a tranquil heart. The believer who have good manners with Allah and with His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will accept any reports of Allah and any reports from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with ease. With ease and tranquility of the heart. Open his mind to understand them and allow his heart to accept what the text establishes. The people, they call themselves aqlaniyun. They use their intellect. And whatever their intellect agreed, if it makes sense to them, they say, that's a hadith. If it doesn't make sense to them, they reject it. They reject it. They reject the hadith. The hadith is sahih. They reject it simply because it doesn't make sense to their weak intellect. And this because of them not having good manners with Allah. Having good manners with Allah and with the deen of Allah, with what Allah says and what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is that if Allah said it, even if you have problem understanding it, you will never, ever, ever reject it. You will accept it, and you will know that Allah said it, because Allah said the truth. It got to be the truth. No doubt whatsoever. Unfortunately, you find some people, they trust human beings. Who said that? So-and-so, somebody famous because he did a lot of researches, this and his name all over the internet. If he said it, yeah, that's good. But Allah said it, they have problems with it. A'udhu billah. The Prophet ﷺ said hadith sahih, and they're like, I don't think so, man. A'udhu billah. Now, the second thing that he mentioned, having manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is implementing the implementation of the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having good manners with Allah is a person now believe what Allah said to be the truth and what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to be the truth and implements. Now it comes to the implementation, applying it, put it to work, acting upon it. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu wa ta'ala says, one must not reject any of Allah's rulings, as this is considered having bad manners in one's interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the case whether the ruling is rejected outright, the person refuses to implement it out of pride, or he or she fails to implement it out of laziness. All of this is something that goes against good character in one's interaction with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Sheikh, he gave an example. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen always give examples because make it easy to understand. An example of this would be the difficult acts of righteousness we undertake in the month of Ramadan. The difficult acts of righteousness we undertake in the month of Ramadan. Sheikh says, And by the way, Ramadan is coming closer. Alhamdulillah. 2 months. 2 months. That's what separates us. Because today is the 28th or 29th, Mustafa? 29th? 29th. No, no. Of the right month, not the wrong month. The right month. What is the right month, Abdullah? The Arabic month, what is it? Zaid, you know? Ahmed? Muhammad? Jumad al-Akhir. Sajid? What's after Jumad al-Akhir? Doing the math, huh? As well. Count, okay, I wait for you. Ahsant, Rajab. Rajab, number 7. The month number 7. And what come after Rajab? Sha'ban. And then Shawwal. And Ramadan, yeah. Ramadan. Then Shawwal. Tayyib. So we have 2 months, Ikhwan. We have narrations that the Salaf, they used to prepare for Ramadan. How long? 6 months before Ramadan. So for those who are not doing it, so we already missing any action, man, 4 months ago. Alright? طيب. So the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi says, fasting is something that is somewhat difficult upon people. Now let me go back to making preparation for Ramadan. You gotta prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan. And a part of that, especially the last 10 nights and 10 days. Because we hear this question, some people, subhanAllah, I want to make i'tikaf, I want to stay here, but my job. They said, talk to your job. I did talk to the man, but they says you should give us a notice at least a month. Alright, you still have 2 months now. Go put it on. Tell them, listen, man, from here to here, I want to take my break. I want to take my, what do you call it? Vacation. You have 2 weeks vacation, 3 weeks, take them in Ramadan. Take them in Ramadan. These days, this year, they say they project in Ramadan around like the 19th of July. 18, 19, 20, one of those days. Meaning that the Eid will be around the 18th, inshallah, or the 19th of August, which the last 10 nights start when? Around the 9th, maybe. The 8th or the 9th of August. So take a break. Take from the 1st, or maybe from the 4th or the 3rd or the 5th of August until the 25th or the 26th. You have 3 weeks. Take them off. For the sake of Allah, it's only one Ramadan, one moment. So the Shaykh Mu'tami, he says, fasting is something that is somewhat difficult upon people, since a person abandons what he or she is accustomed to, food, drink, and intercourse. And this is something hard for people. It's hard. Especially in the summer. People subhanAllah can't even drink water. But for the sake of Allah. They're not doing it because they're protesting some law or something. People do that in jail. They protest and they don't eat for a month. For 2 weeks, not even one drop. But you're doing it for the sake of Allah only until sunset. SubhanAllah. So, however, the Shaykh says, the believer has good manners in his interaction with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he accepts. Again? What is this for? Do I need it?
I don't know, I heard you
say it. Jazakallah khair. Do I need this now? Jazakallah khair. Barakallah. Alhamdulillah. Barakallah. Okay, use it. Jazakallah khair. Because you were here last night? Okay. Huh? Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. Because I don't see myself, you see me, so feel free to tell me anything, right? It's okay with me, inshallah ta'ala. I'm a human. So the Shaykh Hafidah Rahimahullah, he says, however, now, after he mentioned difficulties, when you fast, it's difficult. It's not easy for everybody. It's difficult. However, the believer has good manners in his interactions with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he accepts this task. See, the believer, having good manners, he accepts it. He don't say, why, man, why we gotta fast again? See? The believer, that this doesn't even come to his mind, why we gotta fast? It's enough, we pray every day. So the believer, he accepted. And this could be rephrased. He accepts this honor, a bounty from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, in reality. Actually, this is an honor. The Muslim being honored to fast, because the fast presents so much good. Many great things that happen to the one who fasts. So the believer receives this bounty with tranquility, and his soul accepts it easily. That's why the believer is happy when Ramadan approaches. The one who doesn't have good manners with Allah, like, what? They tell him, oh, Ramadan coming next week. Don't remind me. You know? Don't remind me, man. They be eating 3 breakfasts, 6 lunches, eating all day. But why? Akhir Ramadan is coming, man. I'm not going to be able to eat breakfast. A'udhu billah. No, it's not like that. But the believer who has good manners with Allah, he's like, Allahu Akbar, Ramadan is coming, alhamdulillah. He's happy for Ramadan. So you find him fasting long days, in hot weather. Look, subhanAllah, this is beautiful what the Shaykh is mentioning. Someone who has good manners with Allah, you find him or her. We say him, but the sister is included too. You find him fasting long days in hot weather while he is pleased, his chest full of tranquility. Not just in Ramadan. You find people fasting optionally. He doesn't have to fast Monday and Thursday. In the summer, 106 degrees. 115 degrees. Yes, people in Mecca, in Medina, in Riyadh, somewhere in Africa, Somalia, maybe UAE, where the temperatures, subhanAllah, get 115 degrees, 120 degrees, they fasted. Not Ramadan, Mondays and Thursdays. They don't have to fast, but they're happy. If somebody tell them don't fast, they get mad. What? No fast? Don't fast Monday? Come on, man. It's strange if somebody tell them don't fast. SubhanAllah, if I read to you some of the narrations of the Salaf, and how they fast in hot days, long hours, 20 hours, 21 hours, and they fast. And they're happy. They're happier than those who are eating. They have more energy than those who just ate a sandwich and finished a nice bottle, cold bottle of water and an ice cream, fresh watermelon. But they are more happier and have energy than the other ones. The Shaykh says this because he has good character in his interaction with his Lord. That's the key. Not because he ate a whole half lamb in a sahur. Then when somebody has some energy in Ramadan, they're like, what did you eat in sahur? He ate 2 lambs, huh? Some lamb, right? No, that man didn't eat anything. 1 date and some water. But what get him through this? What? The condition of the heart and the soul. He has in good manners with Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing it for Allah. Let me tell you one thing. I experienced this myself. The days when I eat in suhoor some real food, I get hungry by dhuhr. I don't know why. And some days, I drink little water and dates or something, the day goes nice and beautiful. Yes, I experienced this. I don't know about you. At least one person here agree with me? Couple, alhamdulillah. No, you eat some nice, large, big plate, meat, spaghetti, this, that, cake, give me that, coffee, juice, mix everything. By dhuhr time, you're thinking about food again. You want to eat, you're hungry. But subhanAllah, sometimes you even miss the suhoor. You wake up right after the adhan. And you think, your mind tell you, oh man, you got to see it today. But that day is the best day actually. Look, but here the shaykh is saying, look at the good matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is because that person has good manners or has good character in his interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the one with bad manners in his interaction with Allah faces this act of worship with discontent and contempt. If it was not for fear of negative consequences in this world, he would not fast. These are some people, how they look at it, man. Some people, they just fast. It's heavy for them to fast. And has it not been for if they got caught and they get in trouble and people talk bad about them, yeah, this bad person, he don't fast, they would not fast. Another example of this word be the prayer. Look, the Sheikh is giving us examples. The prayer. Why certain people, prayer is like a mountain on their shoulders. They can't wait until the imam says, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah. Some people, they're in the salah. They give in like signals to the imam. Like telling the imam, come on, man, you're... SubhanAllah. Right or wrong, Sheikh? Huh? But some people, and you see them you see them even standing like this. Man, they can wait until the imam finish. Right there? Huh? You see? Again. Everywhere, Sheikh, everywhere. But some people, subhanAllah, they stand and they pray. They don't even want to leave the salat. They don't. They go and pray, subhanAllah, the sunnah. Here, half an hour, two rakat. Why? Because of the tranquility of the heart, the peace of mind. Something you love, you want to leave it early? Huh? Who can give me examples? Something you love it and you want to spend a lot of time. They said, oh, we're closing. And you still like, come on, man, you're closing now? It's early, right? Give me an example.
Swimming pool.
Huh? What is it? Huh?
Video game.
Give me another example.
Kids with the swimming pool.
Kids in a candy store. Right or wrong? Huh? Nah. Sleep? Sleep. Another example.
Playing sport.
Huh?
Playing sport.
Like playing sport, for example. Those people who like baseball. Or American football. Or the real football, soccer, they call it here soccer, but that's the football. All over the world it's called football, except in America. They love to change everything. They call it soccer. Football everywhere. Those who like that sport, They play for how long? 2, 3, 4 hours. They tired. Do they feel they tired? No. If you go and say to somebody, "Akhi, I want to play in your place. Just take a minute." "Why? You're tired." "I'm not tired." The man cannot even run. But why? What's keeping him running? The love of the game. They like it. They love it. Likewise, somebody who loves the deen, loves Quran, he can't. You can't take him away from the classes of Quran. Somebody who loves the masjid, it's difficult for him to leave the masjid. He don't come at the adhan. He come 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours before the adhan. He loves the masjid. That's why he's here. Even he be the first one here, the last one to leave the masjid. Some people, they even after Isha, they come, sorry to bother you, we're going to close. "Oh, you're going to close? Still early. Early? It's 11:30. They give him 1.5 hours just being nice, because they know this brother like the masjid. The brother is supposed to like the masjid. He went, get him a coffee, came back, and still finish everything, check the bathrooms. He didn't wanna vacuum, but he said, "Since that brother loved the masjid, I'm gonna give him some time in the house of Allah." And then when he came to him and said, "Akhi, we're gonna close." "Akhi, it's early." "Yeah." "No, it's 11:30. "Oh, mashallah." He don't even know the time. He love it. Likewise, when somebody get into the salat, he loves the salat. He's in it. Not like someone who has plans. He make plans before the salat. "Oh, after the salat, I'm going to call this brother. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to check this. Allahu Akbar. Salam. Salam. Allah. Hello, how you doing, akhi? Are you still there?" Hold on. I'm going to pray Asr quick. Allahu Akbar. This is salat now. This is salat. Somebody going to tell somebody, "Hold on, don't hang up. No, I'm going to pray quick salat, okay?" If I'm on the other end, I want to hang up on him to teach him a lesson. And then when he gets God, say, "You hang up on me?" He says, "Yes, I'm hang up on you." You got no manners with the salat, akhi. How are you going to tell me hang up, I'm going to pray? Who does such thing? Allah. Now, by the way, some of us do stuff like this. Maybe not the phone, maybe I exaggerated a little bit. But some people may like, he just come in late to pray. Some people in the parking lot. And he's like, "Hey, where you going, guys?" "Oh, we going here." Somewhere he likes. "Can you take me?" "But did you pray?" "Come on, man, you're not going to get it. Come on, just give me a minute." Give me a minute. Now also in his mind is to come here. "Allahu Akbar, assalamu alaikum. Hey, I'm here." No, man. But the salah is going to benefit a person if he put his heart in it. You disconnect yourself from the worldly life. Once you finish the salah, mashallah, do your thing. Go play that baseball game. As long as you play with good people that remind you of Allah. Go eat that food, no problem. No. That's a good question. And he needs a good answer from a good brother. MashaAllah. We have lectures, alhamdulillah, on that. We may do something. But here is a preview here from the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, prayer is certainly something very burdensome to some people. To some, he didn't say to everybody. To some people. It is heavy on the hypocrites. Allahu musta'an. Look, this is one of the signs. Salat is heavy on the hypocrites, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna athqal as-salata 'ala al-munafiqin, salatu al-isha'i wa salatu al-fajr." Verily the most burdensome prayer to the hypocrites is the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer. On the other hand, the prayer is not a burden at all on the believer. Allahu Akbar. It's heavy on the hypocrite, wal-iyadu billah. It's like a mountain, like they're gonna carry a mountain or something. Oh man, I gotta pray again. On the other hand, the prayer is not a burden at all on the believer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And seek help in patience and in prayer. SubhanAllah, in prayer, performing the prayers. And verily, the prayer is hard, burdensome on all, but the submissive ones. May Allah make us from the Mameen. Those who believe that they will meet their Lord and that they will be returning to Him. It is not a big burden on such people. Rather, it is something light and easy for them. Easy, light. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, and the comfort of the eye has been made for me within the prayer. SubhanAllah. When the Prophet ﷺ, something bothers him, he go to pray. Some people, when something bothers him, they forsake the prayer. They don't even pray. They do the opposite. He go to the park, go for a drive, away from the masjid. He get on 285 and spend gas and everything. Maybe get a flat. Maybe get in a car accident. But you have problems? Go pray. You have issues? Go pray. You're going through some difficulty? Go make wudu and pray. Inshallah, and you see the good. So the Shaykh says, so good manners in one's interaction with Allah, the mighty and majestic, with regards to the prayer, include offering them while the heart is tranquil and relaxed, being content and pleased within the prayer. Here's your answer, amen. Are we going to continue the answer after the adhan, inshallah? Tafaddal akhi, barakallahu fi. The Shaykh Hafidhahu rahimahullah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, said, so good manners in one's interaction with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, with regards to the prayer, includes offering them while the heart is tranquil and relaxed. And that's why you find, for example, some narrations, the Prophet ﷺ says, if you're very hungry, go eat. Especially the food is prepared for you, you eat first, then pray. You know why? So that your mind is free for the salah. Somebody has to use the bathroom. He go use the bathroom and pray. Don't stand right there and eat like this. Huh? Yeah, he may not even make it through, like you said. He's just standing right there. Because before he entered the salah, he's like, I can make it. But now all he's doing is what? Thinking about whether he's going to make it or not. Man, this is not a Greyhound trip. Whether you're going to make it to Atlanta or not. But this is a salah. So if somebody is fighting urine or something, the Prophet ﷺ said, that man, even the jama'ah, they praying, go use the bathroom, make wudu and come. So that we have... Likewise, if somebody is standing in the first row, but he's tight, and he's not focusing on the salat, now he's so tight that he wants to keep his position, and he's fighting, oh, subhanAllah, this is a salat, go to the second rank. Na'am. It's very important, because the khushu' is very important in the salat. So you have to have the tranquility and relaxation, being content and pleased with the prayer, and eagerly awaiting the time of the next prayer. SubhanAllah. Meaning, another way, person cannot wait until the next salat is in. That's all on his mind. Once you have prayed the Fajr, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he gives example. Once you prayed Fajr prayer, you look forward to Dhuhr prayer. MashaAllah. Not like those, he finished the game, He's looking forward to the next Sunday. A whole week. And that's all he talk about. He see them on Sunday night. That was a good game. You think we're going to play next Sunday? On Monday? Are we still on, right? Akhi? Huh? I make sure you come. Tuesday? I got my new gear. Wednesday? Are you still on? He's sending text messages. Are we still playing Sunday? Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is raining. It doesn't matter, Akhi, rain or shine, we're still playing. Do we do the same thing with one another when it comes to the Salah? La ilaha illallah. If you only do this, man, we're gonna see a lot of benefits. And instead of having 3-4 rows, we're gonna have people pray in the parking lot, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanallah, the kuffar, akhi, on Sunday, the churches, people, man, is packed. And we're on the haqq. Why don't we send this text message? Akhi, I can't wait until I see you for Asr, huh? Inshallah. Okay, mashallah, I love you for the sake of Allah, akhi, I'd like to see your pretty face, inshallah. That's all we need sometimes. Sometimes we want to pray, but shaitan get us on another plan. That's okay. If you miss the Salat al-Asr, what's going to happen? But then you receive a text message from this brother, second brother, 10 brothers, 15, all of them. Okay, we'll see you for Asr, inshallah. Now you're going to like be shy if you don't show up, because all of them after Maghrib, they're like, where you been, akhi? Now you don't want that, right? And we come. And then we do that with one another. We do it with a game, subhanAllah. Let's do it for the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, and also, once you have prayed Dhuhr, you look forward to Asr prayer. When you have prayed Asr prayer, you look forward to Maghrib prayer. And once you have prayed Maghrib, you look forward for Isha prayer. And once you have prayed Isha prayer, you look forward to Fajr prayer. Some people, they didn't even finish lunch, they look forward to dinner. What are we going to have in dinner? Finish lunch first. Yes. What are you going to cook for us for dinner? Finish lunch. You know, you don't know if you're going to make it for dinner, brother. Give the sister a break, man. But this is the right attitude we should have. You finish the class of Tawheed, you can wait until the next one. Finish class of Usul, you can wait until the next one. So let your heart, the Shaykh says, become attached to these prayers, as this is certainly a way to have good manners in your interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A third example. Shaykh give examples. A third example would be the prohibition of riba, usury, interests, in business transactions. This also shows those who have good manners and those who don't have good manners with Allah when it comes to dealing with riba. Allah has prohibited us from usury with some very explicit words in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 275, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. And Allah has allowed business transactions and prohibited riba, usury. In the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِدَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So whoever has received admonishments from his Lord and ceases, stops riba. He heard the ayah, he's like, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. I said, no more riba. That person is excused for what has passed. And his affair is for Allah to judge. And those who go back to usury and are the dwellers of the fire, abiding therein forever, وَلَيَدُوا إِلَّهِ. The Shaykh says Allah has threatened them. Who has threatened the one who returns to usury after the admonishment has reached him and he understood the ruling. He has been threatened with eternal punishment in the fire. And the refuge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people, they live off usury, even they were making some good money, and they think that was a good money. Is that a good money? That's not a good money. That's bad money. But once, if they have good manners with Allah, their aqidah is correct, they're like, astaghfirullah, wa atubu ilayhi. This money is not going to help me. This is a test. I'm going to die one day. Nah. I said, this is not good. It's not pleasing to Allah. Forget about it. I said, he's going to give you that gas station. Some people, subhanAllah, you talk to them about this, riba and stuff, and they're like, Akhi, how I'm going to live? What do you mean, how I'm going to live? You don't believe that Allah is a Razzaq? What do you mean, you ask a question, how I'm going to live after this? Meaning everybody do riba? Not all of them. What about, they still alive? They still live, alhamdulillah. And they happy, tranquil, because of their good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also being pleased with the qadr of Allah. And we finish with this tonight class. Because this is having good manners with Allah. Once again, having good manners applies three matters. What's the first matter? Ahsan. Uthman.
Believe in what Allah says when it reaches you.
Ahsan. Believing in what Allah says when it reaches you. And also what the Messenger says. Number two?
Implementing
and applying the rulings of Allah. What's the third one?
Patience.
Ahsan. Being pleased with the qadr of Allah. And be patient. The Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi says, accepting what Allah the Exalted has decreed and being content and patient with it is the third way one can have good manners in his interaction with Allah. Then the Shaykh, he says, all of us know that the things that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has decreed to take place amongst His creation are not always things that the people favor and like. Is everything that Allah has decreed for us in line with what we want for ourselves? Shaykh says, no, not always. And he gave example, illnesses, for example. Illnesses are not things that people favor, as everyone wishes to be healthy, right or wrong. People, they don't wish to be sick. No. People wish and love to be healthy and stay healthy. Similarly, poverty. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says poverty, to be poor, is something that people do not favor, right or wrong. As everyone likes to have money. Right? Ignorance. Another example. Jahl. Ignorance is also not favorable. People like to be knowledgeable. Then the Shaykh says, what Allah has decreed varies for reasons known to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Some of the things He decrees are favorable to people, so they are comfortable with them and take to them naturally. Others are not like this. So how does one have good manners in his interaction with Allah as it relates to the things that Allah has decreed for that person? The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, good manners in this regard is to be pleased with what Allah has decreed for you and to face it with tranquility, knowing that Allah the Glorified and Exalted has not decreed it except for a great reason and a favorable outcome that is worthy of praise and gratitude. Based on this, good character with Allah in this regard includes being pleased with what has been decreed and submitting to it with tranquility. Allah has praised the patient people, those who are patient in times of calamities. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And convey glad tidings to the patient ones, those who say, when faced with a calamity, verily we belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. Let's give an example. You park your car in front of your house like you always do, and you get up for further, the car is there. for years. One day you wake up and a window is smashed and the radio is stolen. What is your reaction? And you wake up for Fajr, by the way, to come to pray with the Jama'ah, like you always do. What would be the reaction? Give me the real one. And then let's see the application of this. Give me the real us. Now.
I did it. I grabbed my gun. And oh. I went to jail that night.
See? Look at the consequences. Look where he ended up that night. All right. Call the police. Uh-huh. What else?
Some people curse.
Some people start cursing. Get mad. Yelling. Right, what is? Yeah, I should have put it in the garage. If he put it in the garage, maybe they broke the garage. See how it is? Maybe if they were coming to get something from the car, maybe it would be better if it stays outside. Otherwise, now they're going to break the garage to get into the car. See? But what is the right way to deal with it? No. Ahsant. Sayyidina lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. With a smile on your face. Because now it could be worse or not. What could be worse than that?
Broken the house.
Yeah, broken the house and frightened you and your children.
Could have been in the car.
Yes. See? No, they just broke into your car that is next to your house. They didn't break into the house and frighten everybody. That's a ni'mah from Allah or not? And only one window is broken and one thing stolen. It could be the whole car stolen. Right or wrong? And who knows, maybe they went and do a lot of bad things with it and everything is on you. La hawla wa la quwwata. So you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you say, Alhamdulillah, it could be worse, but Alhamdulillah. And even if somebody around you, because it happened to me once, my car, my van got stolen, and Alhamdulillah, I was happy, I was okay. I wasn't very happy, but I was okay though. And then when the police came, they didn't believe me. It was me and a brother from UAE, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair, he's back, but he used to study here. And me and him, and he's like, oh, stolen. I said, alhamdulillah, what happened, man? MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar, inna lillahi wa ilayhi raji'un, alhamdulillah. When the police came, they didn't believe me. They were talking to each other. I said, you think he's saying the truth? I'm like, excuse me, man, I'm serious. You think I'm going to call you? And they're like, but you're not mad. I'm like, why should I be mad? He's going to bring the car. They're like, no, because we usually, whenever we come, somebody's car stolen, he's cursing. He wake up everybody that morning. The whole block is up because he's yelling, all this. He says, but you're not doing that. I said, why? Me, I'm not. I'm Muslim. We believe in the Qadar of Allah. They still didn't believe me. They're like, all right, see you later. I said, well, what are we going to do now? Come on to the precinct. They didn't believe me, man. Alhamdulillah. Guess what? That night, the same brother was with me. He called me and said, we find your van. He was driving with another brother. Right there, the van is parked somewhere. Allahu Akbar. He was messed up a little bit. So, alhamdulillah. The ignition, you know, they took the ignition and used it. You know what I'm talking about. Screwdriver. So, Allah al-Musta'an. Alhamdulillah. It could happen right now. We're talking right now. You go outside and you find a flat tire. What you do now? What you going to say? Say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And fix it. Because it's going to help you to fix your car. If you're mad and agitated, you don't know what to do. Now you break, you cut your finger. Now you're looking for a band-aid. No. When you're tranquil, alhamdulillah, you're doing it, and you're ease, inshallah. May Allah grant us good manners, I mean, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Tomorrow, inshallah, we will continue. We're going to read good manners in one's dealing with the people, inshallah ta'ala. And refraining from harming others, kind acts of generosity, inshallah, some good stuff. Not executing the people in some circumstances, not excusing them, actually, excusing the people and stuff. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.